463 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Top Cow Chronology episode, and I'm going to be talking about Witchblade number 10, which is a pretty important book in terms of the Top Cow Artifact universe because it's the first appearance of the Darkness and Jackie Estacado. So let me give the creative team really quickly. It's written by writers Mark Silvestri, Michael Turner, David Wall, and Christina Z. We've got pencils from Michael Turner and Mark Silvestri, inks by D-Tron and Matt Banning, with colors by Jonathan D. Smith. So let me go ahead and dive right into the issue. It starts out, we see a Ferrari Testarossa moving along the road very quickly. Great use of kind of blurring the background to give us a sense of speed. We see New York City in the background. There's a lot of dialogue boxes on the page. It talks about the founding of the Mafia in Italy way back in the 9th century and goes on to talk about the Yakuza as well, the Japanese counterpart to the Mafia. As we turn the page, the dialogue boxes continue talking about how the Yakuza and the Mafia had been at war for many years until Kenneth Irons came along, which obviously is a name that we know very well. If we, you know, if you've been reading Witchblade, it's you know, the guy that was trying to get the Witchblade that actually introduced the Witchblade to Sarah Pizzini at the Rialto Theater way back in issue one. And supposedly this war between the two criminal enterprises, if you will, was finally stopped by Irons when Irons kind of divided up the territory and gave everybody enough to keep them happy, if you will. And that sort of stopped the war, and it ushered in an area of peace between the two organizations, and everybody kind of flourished. So as that narrative is continuing, we see who I believe to be the head of the Yakuza in New York, who's orientating a new member. And as the car pulls up outside, it's a traditional Japanese palace, I guess you'd say. It's got those roofs where the corners kind of tilt up, if you will. And we see a gentleman get out of the car. He's wearing a suit, tie, and mentions to his date that he'll be back in just a couple minutes, only 2 minutes. And as he approaches the two guards at the front door, he pulls out a couple of guns and kills them. And so as he continues deeper into the mansion, he finds the meeting where the orientation is taking place, takes out the head of the Yakuza, and makes kind of a daring escape by jumping off the roof, noting as he climbs back in the car that, yes, he was only gone for 2 minutes. As we turn the page, we see 9:05 a.m. the following day. We're at the police precinct where Sarah Pizzini works. She's being chewed out by her captain for the events that took place in issue 8 at the penthouse of Kenneth Irons, and nobody has any real answers. Sarah's not offering any. There's a couple of decomposing dead bodies, but they can't even identify them because they can't find their teeth. And he can't figure out what happened, and he's trying to get out of Sarah what she was doing there, why her partner was there. He needs the case solved. And as he's chewing Sarah out, Jake McCarthy comes in, and he's trying to blame it on Seltzer. Seltzer was involved in something there. He got hit by a laser, and then he killed Irons. And you can tell the captain's not buying it. He's like, wait, so first they got killed with lasers, and then they were thrown from the window. But who threw them? And the gun, that must have been some kind of weapon. Too bad there's no evidence of it. He's like, Jake, who do you think you're talking to? And Jake's like pleading with Sarah, like, back me up, right? Help me out here. And the chief says, Sarah, you know, I'll give you one more chance. Does your story match Jake's? Was Seltzer really involved? What about the Rialto fire and the murder of Kenneth Irons and Nottingham? And Sarah just mumbles a yes. And the chief's had it. He's like, get out, both of you. You can tell he's not buying it. And as they walk out of the office, Jake tells Sarah, you know, we really need to talk. We've got to give him some answers one way or the other. And Sarah says, yes, I want to talk to you all about it, but we got to do it alone, right? We can't do it here. So Jake says, yeah, I'm free tonight. Call me. I notice a message on his desk. It says, please call Becca, urgent. Becca is the reporter that he had been working with in the first arc about the serial killer and getting some details on the Witchblade and Kenneth Irons himself. So as the scene shifts on the next page, we're at Jamaica Estates in Queens later in the afternoon, same day. And we see the narrative talking about how Jackie Estacado is kind of the quasi-adopted son of the head of the mafia, Don Frankie Franchetti. And he's kind of the favorite son of the Don, and he's actually become the Don's right-hand man when it comes to assassinations. He's a hitman, basically. And so he – at the birthday party there for – I'm going to assume it's the Don's daughter or granddaughter. Jackie grabs a piece of cake, heads up to the meeting upstairs of the Don and all his lieutenants. And as Jackie comes in and brings the cake to the Don, he says, oh, my favorite boy. I heard about your business yesterday. It went well. Jackie says, yeah, it was fine. And the Don responds, yes, I've got another assignment for you. It seems that the goods they wanted from the Rialto a way back have resurfaced. They lost a lot of men there trying to get it. The frickin' witch whatever he calls it, obviously referring to the Witchblade. And he says, now I've got some uptown agent that tells me that a cop has it, of all people, a female cop. And that's Jackie's new assignment. So meanwhile, in Chelsea, sitting outside of Sarah's apartment is her sister, Julie. And she's sitting on the stoop smoking a cigarette. And we find out that, as we saw the eviction notice last issue, or might have been the issue before, Julie's telling Sarah, as Sarah walks up, hey, I didn't know you moved out. Thanks for telling me. And Sarah's response is, hey, nice to see you too. What, you couldn't pick the new locks? Your talents are slipping. And Julie's like, yeah, well, you know, you could have been a little nicer to me. And, you know, where I could tell you where your friend Lisa is. And Sarah's not having it. She's like, screw you. Don't mess with me. I'll make your life hell. Where is she? And Julie's like, hey, I got her a job at the Molyneux Agency. She's in good hands. Sarah's, again, just fed up with her sister. Like, she's only 16. And I know that you think that out meeting rich guys and getting backstage is great at that age. But Lisa's – and before she can finish her sentence, her phone rings. And Julie finishes for what? Nicer, purer? I don't see why you even care. She's been gone for days and you didn't even – and the phone rings. Sarah walks off and Julie's like, well, it looks like I'm going to have to miss the lecture. You have another stranger's life to go and save. Sarah walks off. Yeah, Julie, see you around, sis. And what we see in that final panel in silhouette is maybe some creatures, demons – might be gargoyles from the building across the street. It's hard to tell, but they're clearly in the foreground, but they're all blacked out and interesting shapes there. So meanwhile, Long Island City, Jake McCarthy's had better days. He's there. He's at the Rialto. Apparently the number he called, somebody wanted to meet him there, but it's not Becca. It's a male reporter that shows up. And he basically informs Jake that Becca's a very ambitious girl, and this guy had given her all the information about Irons and the Rialto and the Liberty Island case, like the whole nine yards, right? It's her notes. But she's moved on. She's covering a story in Europe about the Middle East, and this guy's taken over the investigation. I don't think we necessarily get his name. So they walk into the theater. They're taking a look around with a flashlight, and the reporter's trying to get some information from Jake. He's kind of fishing around. He's like, look around you. Something paranormal happened here. It has a lot more to do with Kenneth Irons than you or the public would ever believe. And Jake's response is, I don't know. I've already seen a lot, maybe too much. And the reporter responds that there's something more he can't really tell him about yet. And Jake's like, the Witchblade? And the reporter's shocked. He's like, you know of it? Jake says, yeah, I know where it is even, but what is it? And the reporter responds, well, Maybe we can help each other out here. I've got some video footage to show you. So meanwhile, across the East River in Manhattan, Sarah's out looking for Jake. She's like, the day that our captain yells at us to get some leads on the microwave murder, he kills three more girls right below last night's hotel room window. Jake should be here, helping me with this case. And so she's pretty upset. And then we see someone enter the alley and start hitting on her, basically. Hey, what's a pretty girl like you digging through garbage? Sarah blows him off. She's like, police business, be on your way. And we see as he comes out of the shadows that it's Jackie Estacado. He's like, wow, you smell so good. I can't imagine anywhere in the city's filth there'd be a flower hiding. And again, Sarah's like, look, I'm working. I appreciate the compliment, if that's what it is. But she's kind of surprised as Jackie steps out of the shadows because he's so good looking, apparently. She's like, oh my God, it looks just like, and I don't know, is he supposed to look like Nottingham somewhat? I mean, there is somewhat of a similar look, I guess. He definitely doesn't look like Irons, but perhaps Nottingham. Anyway, Sarah's like, but if you don't leave, I'm going to arrest you for loitering at a crime scene. Go away. And Jackie's like, okay, I'm going. I thought you were someone else, but really he's just trying to put her at ease so he can sneak up behind her. And as he does that, and grabs her, Sarah says, release me or I'll pull the trigger. She's pulled her gun and is holding it under his chin, basically. And Jackie's not sure what to think. And then as Sarah's holding the gun, the witchblade basically manifests itself. And Jackie's like, oh, it is you. And then he steps back in surprise and says, oh my God. And as we turn to the next page, it's a full page spread. And we see those creatures that were in silhouette earlier, they're like these demon things with wings and a lot of teeth. And they kind of look like they're made out of the same material as the Witchblade, so to speak. But they're behind Sarah and they're flying towards Jackie. And the Witchblade starts talking to Sarah saying, no, protect. And Sarah yells for Jackie to get down. And the creature is actually ignore Sarah to her surprise and go past her and head toward Jackie, start kind of wrapping him up in these tendrils. And Sarah's thinking, well, it's going for him, but why? And meanwhile, the Witchblade's still saying protect. Sarah's like, it doesn't matter. I've got to stop them, whatever they are, before they tear me and that pervert to pieces. So she's trying to get a handle on the Witchblade. It's still talking to her. And then all of a sudden it says destroy. And it's literally trying to kill Jackie Estacado. So she fires a blast and it hits one of the demons, kind of blowing it to bits. And Jackie pulls out his gun. He says, I don't know what all these things are, but I'm here. I've got a job to do, which obviously is killing Sarah. So he pulls the trigger, but Sarah deflects it with the Witchblade. And that's it for the Witchblade. It's like, all right. This guy tried to kill us. We've got to kill him. And the Witchblade's talking to Sarah saying, what's the matter? Can't breathe. Okay, don't worry about it. And people are coming down the alleyway. They've been drawn by the sound of the gunfire. And Sarah's trying to hold it together. She's like, no, he's dying by my hand. I can't let that happen. As the Witchblade's trying to choke Jackie, and she's yelling for it to stop. And then finally she says, it's working. I controlled it. I made it not kill him, even though it wanted to. And as it releases Jackie, he runs off. He blends in the crowd and we see the little demons run away as well. So Sarah thinks to herself, great, another unsolved mystery times two. But what I have learned is that apparently there's some people in life who have more things happen to them in 24-hour periods than other people do in 5 years. And she thinks that she perhaps is one of those people. But the good thing is she thinks she's getting a handle on things. Well, at least before it all comes crashing down, she was able to exert some control over the Witchblade and she's getting better at using it. So as she is kind of lost in her thoughts, we see standing over her, silhouetted by the moon, is a figure wearing a cloak and a hood. And Sarah's thinking, trying to figure out who exactly Jackie Estacado was. Was it protecting him from those creatures, or Was he protecting her from the creatures? Was the Witchblade? There's just, again, a lot of questions, way more questions than answers. And as we turn the page, we get a closer look at the figure in the cloak with the moon silhouetted behind him, as I said, and we get the words, "Not the end," as this is just the beginning of the Witchblade and Darkness story arc. So I wouldn't say that this issue has, you know, the most story. It kind of starts the momentum of the Witchblade and the Darkness. Obviously, we meet Jackie Estacado for the first time. Clearly, he's unaware of his legacy, of his heritage, about how the males of his bloodline have been hosts for the Darkness up to this point. And don't forget, like, there's been previous hosts of the Darkness. Obviously, the artifacts have been around for a long time. Just as there's been previous hosts of the Witchblade, there's been previous hosts of the Darkness. But at the time that this issue came out in publishing history, there had been no the Darkness hadn't shown up in any comic before this, right? So it's a brand new property, and we're still trying to learn. And clearly, Jackie Estacado doesn't know, based on his reaction to the little demons that showed up. You know, he doesn't know that he's destined to be the bearer of the Darkness. He knows nothing about the kind of the artifacts that are such a huge part of the Top Cow artifact universe. All he knows is he likes his job. He likes killing people because he likes the lifestyle it affords him, being Don Fricchetti's kind of number one hitman. He gets to date beautiful women and have lots of money to spend and wear fancy clothes and drive Ferrari Testarossas, which as the art sort of does in this book, the Ferrari for sure kind of dates it. Also, just the style of the book, the fact that it reads relatively quickly. There's a lot of splash pages. I mean, beautiful art. That final page, you can tell it's Silvestri rather than Michael Turner. And it's classic Silvestri. It's an awesome looking image. So the art is beautiful. But again, you know, during this period of time, I think it came out in 96 or 97, issue 10. I think 96. But yeah, at that time, mid-90s art for sure. A lot of big splash panels, a lot of detail in the art, which again, it's beautiful to look at, but you get a little bit less of story. But it's an enjoyable issue. You know, we did get a little momentum going with the captain chewing out Jake and Sarah. So clearly the whole Kenneth Irons and the events there are still a thing. We've got a little bit of movement of the microwave killer plotline. We've got Jake meeting up with another reporter at the Rialto. So everything is kind of tying together, and almost in a coincidental way. But again, you know, comic in the 90s. I mean, it just so happens that Jackie Estacado is the heir to the Darkness, and it just so happens he's working for Don Fricchetti, who just so happens to know about the Witchblade and had men at the Rialto to try and get his hands on it. You know, it makes you wonder, like, how much does Don Fricchetti know? Does he know Jackie Estacado is destined to wield the Darkness? So yeah, there's a lot of kind of coincidental stuff going on, and you've got that subplot of perhaps a new gang war between the Yakuza and the Mafia. So it certainly is an enjoyable issue. And as I said, it's been quite a while since I've done one of these Top Cow Chronology episodes. I do want to do them more often. It's just a matter of finding the time. It's like, when all things being equal, I'd rather cover the new books that are coming out, because those are books that you can go out and pick up, and those are, you know, creators that I can talk to about, you know, the current work they're doing. It's a lot different going back and doing these older episodes, but I do feel like it's worth doing for sure, because there's still a massive amount. I mean, the majority of the Top Cow Artifact Universe stuff I've never read. So I do want to get back to it. I'm going to try to do them a little more often for you guys. So this was a super enjoyable issue. I mean, it's Michael Turner art. It's the first issue of the first appearance of the Darkness, Jackie Estacado. So all that's interesting. And it's pretty good for the first issue of an arc. It doesn't give you a whole lot of story, like I said, but it does introduce some interesting concepts, and I'm very interested to see where it goes from here. As Manny and I have both said many times when we were covering the very first arc of Witchblade, this is quality storytelling, right? Like, yeah, it's 90s art. Yeah, it's a little bit of its time, but to dismiss Witchblade as just a bad girl book or a cheesecake book without any interesting story or interesting characters definitely does it a disservice. It is interesting story. I mean, it wouldn't have lasted nearly 200 issues if it wasn't an interesting concept, an interesting character, and done really, really well. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. As always, please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available there on those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.